News from Stellantis, they're scaling back production and laying off workers at two plants here in America. As you know, there's lower sales. They have all this inventory. One of those plants is Warren Truck Assembly Plant here in town, cutting production from 2 to 1 daily shift for July. And that means layoffs for 1,600 workers. Keith Naughton, auto business reporter for Bloomberg, joins us this morning. Good morning, Keith.
Hi, Jamie.
So this news means a lot to those 1,600 workers.
It sure does. And it looks like it will be about a 6-week layoff. Stellantis has had some sales problems, including with its franchise player, Jeep. And so they are taking down a shift there in Warren Truck. And they're also laying off workers down in Toledo, which makes the Gladiator pickup truck and the Wrangler.
Keith, as you said, Jeep and Ram vehicles, those segments have traditionally been pretty strong for Stellantis. What are some specific reasons, do you think, for the decline in demand?
Yeah, so dealers have been complaining to Stellantis that kind of their prices are out of whack. They don't feel like their vehicles are competitively priced, and apparently the company is working on that. You know, when they go to head-to-head with other vehicles like Ford's Bronco, they're not faring well. So that's really taken a hit to some of their biggest sellers, like the Wrangler and the Ram and the Chrysler Pacifica minivan. All of those were down in the second quarter.
How much of this, to some degree, is just growing pains with the Stellantis? A lot of the Stellantis management is European, and that they are still just trying to figure out the North American market?
Yeah, Guy, there's definitely some tension between the Stellantis management and labor. The relationship they have with the UAW is probably the worst among the three. The big settlement from last year seems to have come back to bite, because there's been a lot of layoffs at Stellantis, more than Ford and General Motors. So there's definitely some tension there. I think you can toss the dealers into that tension. They haven't been that happy with Stellantis management. So I think they have some things they need to work out to get things rolling as they should be.
Talking about Stellantis, of course, but what about the other parts of the auto industry, and what were the sales numbers for June?
Yeah, they were a little softer than expected. The annual sales rate was about 15.3 million, rather than, 15.6 or 15.8 that was expected. A lot of that could do with that hack of CDK, the software provider for dealers. That cost, some estimates say, 50,000 sales in the month of June. We'll see, hopefully, that come back in July. CDK says they're all the way back up now. Prices have remained strong. Incentives are still pretty much in check. The market has remained, you know, kind of resilient, despite the fact that interest rates are very high right now.
What factor does, like, supply chain disruptions and semiconductor shortages play in this, Keith?
You know, Lloyd, we're kind of finally getting past that, and we're getting to these sort of normalized inventory levels. But it seems like every time we get past one crisis, another one emerges. And so that was the CDK hack that happened this past month that really, really affected dealers, because that software is involved in everything in dealerships, from the phone system to closing transactions to scheduling warranty work. So that was a big disruption that hopefully they can put behind them this month.
Keith, how do we process this, the number from General Motors that, while their sales were pretty flat at 0.6% increase, their EV sales set a record for the quarter and for the first half of the year. How do we read that? Is that a win? I know they've scaled back their production expectations and forecasts. And also, I know a lot of those sales were the Bolt, which is being discontinued.
Yeah, that is true. They are starting to roll out sort of more popular priced EVs like the Blazer. So, you know, there's an Equinox. So there's some, you know, better priced EVs coming. But EV demand, Guy, it still remains pretty stagnant. Mainstream buyers just aren't embracing electric vehicles. They still see them as too high priced. There are all these concerns about the charging infrastructure. So EVs are not going to be volume players. They're still less than 10% of the market, and that isn't changing.
Well, and we have this story that we were just talking about here, which is kind of crazy, which the Detroit News reporting this morning that this with the president's infrastructure law. They've thrown $5 billion at building EV charging stations. But after 3 years and $5 billion spent, they've only got 11 charging stations to show for it. So you've got this kind of this weird thing where the federal government is putting a gun to the head of the automakers and saying, build EVs, yet and we'll build the charging stations for you, and then failing miserably when it comes to delivering.
Yeah, I that was an excellent story in the Detroit News, and it is amazing. 11 charging stations from a $5 billion government investment. You know, apparently there is a lot of red tape involved in building charging stations, and it's a glacial process. But my goodness, that's what's necessary to create, you know, a mainstream market for electric vehicles. People are very concerned about running out of juice in a pure EV. And if you can't put a charging station conveniently located, you know, everywhere people drive, then people aren't going to buy them.
Hybrids are still the ones that people are looking at. We'd be talking about anything electric. They really want the hybrids because you got the best of both worlds.
Hybrids are really hot right now, selling very well for Toyota and for Ford. And even Stellantis, we talked about all their struggles. They have the leading plug-in hybrids. The Wrangler plug-in hybrid is very popular. So hybrids of all stripes are doing very well right now. It's, you know, it provides the solution people are looking for. The prices are pretty equal to what a regular internal combustion engine vehicle would be. And you don't have to worry about running out of juice because you've got that internal combustion engine, you know, on board.
The topic last week for you was Tesla making some unusual design changes.
Yeah, Tesla got hit in the J.D. Power initial quality study because people are not real thrilled with some of these really basic rudimentary things they've changed. They've taken the turn signal stalk off the side of the steering column, and they made it a button, or two buttons, directional buttons, on the steering wheel. They've done the same thing with the windshield wiper stalk. So, and with the horn, they moved it from the center of the steering wheel to a button on the wheel. People don't like these changes. They like things to be where they're where they expect them to be, and that's really taken a hit on Tesla, which is no longer the quality leader among EVs. They're equal to everyone else, Rivian and the legacy automakers, everyone.
Well, and the crazy thing is they know that consumers will report that as a problem to J.D. Power,
right,
and Ipsos and others because they just don't like it. It may function perfectly well, but it will be reported as a problem.
That would be off-putting to not have the turn signal where you think it's supposed to be.
Well, if you have to fish for it, it's kind of unsafe, isn't
it? It is, right.
Well, particularly with the horn. I mean, I think we all just would mash the middle of our steering wheel, and if it doesn't beep, it's too late.
Yeah, I mean, we've all had rental cars where the buttons aren't quite where you need them to be, and you're like, get me out of here. I need my regular car.
Yeah, so that's given Tesla a little bit of a black eye in the J.D. Power initial quality study, but I doubt very much that Elon is going to change any of those designs.
Because he knows best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Keith Naughton, auto business reporter for Bloomberg, thank you for your time this morning. Have a wonderful holiday week.
Thank you for having me on.
Coming up, we're talking to Kristen McDonald Rivett, a state senator, and how Representative Dan Kildee is getting involved in endorsing her. That's at 7:49.